it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Orioles and Twins here tonight. They're about to open a four-game set. The Twins are battling for the division lead, and the Orioles right now battling just to keep on breathing somehow and try and stay within striking distance. Orioles now 8.5 games out in the divisional race. Orioles here tonight trying to end a little three-game losing streak. So Buck and Rock in a moment on the Orioles Radio Network.
Rock Abatko here with Orioles manager Buck Showalter and tonight's manager's report. Buck, last series before the All-Star break, four games under 500 now, season low. I know you're asked periodically during these stretches about the level of concern. Is it growing at all because of where you are in the schedule right now, just the fact that, you know, this thing isn't turning around?
Well, always when you're not playing well, you're concerned. And, you know, we've had we've been challenged for an extended period of time, but it's for a lot of reasons. But you got to look at every day as a chance to start something better and new. We didn't play well in Milwaukee, obviously, and got a good outing, I thought, from Aquino yesterday. I was impressed with him, but it's very frustrating for our players and for everybody. But, you know, it's one thing to be frustrated. What are you going to do about it? And, you know, that's what we've been talking about.
Are you satisfied with the effort, the energy level, and it's just the fact that it's kind of a collective funk right now?
No, you're never satisfied. So, hell, it's just, you know, it's something you talk to players about. It's not one of those things where you say, well, it's just one of those games and one of those periods that every team goes through or every individual goes through. You can't give in to that. You can't, you know, let that be your driving force. You know, we're like a Broadway play. You know, you go on and difference with Broadway plays, they get closed down if the critiquers don't critique them well. So, you know, we are in the entertainment business in a certain way, and it's not very entertaining right now.
You mentioned Aquino, no walks and 5 1/3. Is that one of the things you like about him, is he is just in attack mode, and has he positioned himself to maybe get another look?
Yeah, I told you his early spring training, there was something I kind of liked about him. I like the – he doesn't play very well as a reliever because the changeup has to get around the batting order and make them hurry and slow down. He attacks the strike zone. He's not scared, and you've heard me use that expression many times. And, you know, there's a lot of people who give the opposition too much credit. Jason's the guy that comes in here, and he lets it rip, and if it doesn't work out, he'll be ready 5 days later. But that's not the way – you know, he's not looking for something bad to happen. His slider's really improved since spring training. Roger and then the minor league staff took it from there, and they've really given him that pitch that he was missing. You know, he should have given up two runs yesterday, and he presented us with a really good chance to win. I was really happy with his performance.
Rock Abatko back with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight's manager's report, our yearly visit to Target Field. How do you feel about this ballpark compared to some of the others?
Well, this is right up there in my top two or three. It's just, and most things the Minnesota Twins do is very baseball functional. You know, they got the right foul ground. They got the fairness of the ballpark. If you hit it good, it goes out. If you don't, it doesn't go out. Very much like in Fort Myers. You know, when Fort Myers spring training, they had to go to the Twins about letting the Red Sox move in there. They extracted a lot of good things there. They got dorms for their players. The this ballpark was built with a lot of baseball people having input because it's the dugouts work, the clubhouse work, the batting cage is where it's supposed to be. There's a lot of safety that they looked into for the players. It's a ballpark that I think is going to stand the test of time, and it's really going to be looked at fondly for a long period of time.
Twins are starting Jose Berrios. What should we know about him?
Great, you know, great potential. Good young pitcher, having a good year for him. Plus stuff, can pitch with his fastball. You're going to see one of the good young, talented arms in baseball tonight.
Roster move earlier today. Infielder Johnny G. Vitello had his contract purchased from Norfolk. First time we've seen him since spring training. What's the plan for him? Is it a bat off the bench? Could he be used in a different role? We don't even know how long he's going to be here, of course.
Well, that's a good thing. Johnny can do a lot of things. He plays with great energy. He's a guy that went down and did what he's supposed to do. He plays with that reckless abandon you look for. He's got he's a guy that has a lot of energy, can swing the bat. He's always had a history of an offensive player. He's come a long way defensively, and we think he can help us. He cares. This is a guy that you'll never have to worry about effort or focus being part of his makeup. But Johnny's a good addition for us, and we hope we can keep him because we're in need of someone like that.
Zach Britton made his return last night. What'd you think of him?
Well, that was good. You know, it's not one of those things I tell him before the game. I didn't want him to sit around too long, and he'd had a day off just on his schedule and got him out there. It's a good game to get behind him. If you could have painted it, you know, he threw some pitches and he got out of it unscathed and got a feel for the adjustments that he's going to have to make. He and Brad both needed to pitch last night.
It's one of the spots in the rotation for this series says to be determined. Could that be Chris Tillman's spot, depending on his workday?
Chris had maybe has had it. I know they've had a lot of rain and buoy today, and they thought they were going to have a window talking there where Chris could get his workday in. And he'll travel tomorrow at some point and be activated on Saturday.
Thank you, Buck. Let's take it back upstairs to Joe Angel.
Yep, Zach Britton back in that ballgame last night. Faced five hitters, gave up a single, a walk, but he did not give up a run. Britton is back. Good to see. He and Jim Hunter, they'll talk things over when we continue with the warm-up show right after this.
It is sunny and warm in Minneapolis, Minnesota. O's and Twins begin a four-game series. Well, Zach Britton is back. Up next, we'll chat with Zach on the Orioles Radio Network.
Orioles road trip continues tonight. We're in Minneapolis, first of four against the Minnesota Twins. And what a sight it was last night in Milwaukee to see number 53 walking in from the bullpen to the mound. His first appearance since May the 4th for the Orioles. Long time in the DL. What was it like walking into the game?
You know, I was actually kind of nervous, you know, warming up. You know, when you're away from it for a little while and you get back into it, and, you know, obviously it wasn't a save situation or anything, but just, you know, I was a little nervous and overthrew some balls yesterday, but it was good. You know, it's good to feel that way, I think. It makes you, you know, appreciate, you know, pitching in the big leagues. Sometimes you get numb to it because you do it for so long, but when you kind of have it taken away from you for a little while, you appreciate it. But it was nice to get the juices flowing. Not as I would have loved to have, you know, a nice, easy three up, three down, but sometimes it's better if you have to work for it. You know, if it always comes easy to you, then sometimes you get complacent. So, you know, I think this is going to be one of those years where I'm going to really have to work for it, and that's okay. It's going to make me better in the long run.
So the fact that you bounced the first two pitches you threw, that tells us there was some anxiousness going on?
Yeah, you know, Jonesy after the game actually was like, well, you know, when I was, you know, kind of pitching through the injury, I wasn't really bouncing many. And normally, actually, if I got a pretty good one, I'll bounce a few. And so he said that was a nice sight to see. But that was more so, yeah, I was overthrowing, just, you know, a little out of whack. But I was glad to get in that seventh inning. I thought that was, you know, a smart job by Buck to get me in there, you know, early enough in the game. And if we happened to come back, you know, Brad could have, you know, went back out for the ninth, you know, after throwing the eighth.
I understand how much of a competitor you are and how much you care about helping the team. In retrospect, as you look back to how quickly you came back the first time on the DL and now how cautiously you were this time, did you learn something about listening to your body? And even though you want to help, maybe you can help a little later so you're better?
Yeah, I think so. That was an injury that, you know, I've never had anything, you know, forearm related. And I think in general, the doctors thought it was just kind of a funky injury. So, yeah, I think I learned to, you know, listen to my body a little bit more. There's certain things that you can play through, and there's certain things that, especially if it's going to affect anything that you're doing on the mound, that's, you know, obviously my job on the team is to make quality pitches, throw my sinker. So if I don't have that weapon, now I'm not as good as I'm capable of being. And that's what we need, or that's what I need to be at that level to help the team. So, you know, unfortunately, it cost me half of a season. But, you know, if the only positive was, you know, maybe, you know, kept some of those innings down for the long run, you know, maybe benefit me, you know, a couple of years from now. But, you know, it was just unfortunate because, you know, I wanted to be there for the team through a rough stretch. We were in first place when I left, and, you know, not so much now. But hopefully, you know, I can help them finish strong and do my job after the break. And hopefully, you know, we're fighting for the second wild card. You know, that's the mindset right now. Obviously not the end goal, but reality is that's kind of what we're shooting for. And, you know, we can still get there. We just need to play better. We need to pitch better. We need to hit better. Just play some Oriole baseball, get back to that.
As much as any pitcher on this team, as I observe, you really have a ritual with your routines. One is the dry tossing with the towel. And yesterday we saw you in the bullpen with Ramon Martinez, and you were working even without the towel, just your body. What does that do to help you when you go into game action?
You know, for me, it's all about repeating the sinker and commanding it. So if my delivery is there, the sinker is going to be the command. And even through the rehabs, you know, I didn't have really a spring training. And the rehab games, a lot of those games are just, you know, seeing if you're physically able to perform. And the last few were more about competing. But, you know, it's still rusty, knocking the rust off. Ramon's seen me since, you know, 2014 when Wallace was here and Chidi. So he kind of, he helps, I think, Roger and Allen out kind of going, you know, this is, you know, the routine I like to do. Roger came out there with me today. I did some, you know, some more drills. I think the more mound time I can get right now is just, you know, not throwing a baseball. You don't have to throw a baseball to get something out of it. It's just about going through my delivery and repeating it. So hopefully I can get back to my form sooner. But like I said, it's going to be one of those years where you got to really battle through it. And, you know, like I said, hopefully I can get a 1-2-3 inning and get some confidence back. I don't really know, but getting off the mound is a big key for me, and especially this year it's going to be big so that I can, you know, get back quicker to the form I want to be at.
Well, you've spoiled us with your consistency, and we saw Brad Brock do a wonderful job in your place. Just a few blown saves, but again, it happens to anybody. It's happened to you in the past, not in a while, but it's happened. As you were observing the bullpen without you, did it hurt inside knowing how much you care and how much you wanted to help?
Yeah, absolutely. I felt for those guys. We were out without Darren for a few months last year, you know, when he was hurt, and I understand the pressure that puts on some of the younger people, or even Brad last year, actually really for him. My role kind of stayed the same. But yeah, watching, you know, Brad do a good job in closing games. Unfortunately, you weren't able to use him, you know, earlier in the game like, you know, Bucks used to. So it definitely, you know, put a little bit of a burden on some guys, but some guys stepped up. You know, Michael Givens, you know, it wasn't all bad. You know, Michael Givens really stepped up and show that he's a powerful weapon for us, you know, at the back end of games. And, you know, you wanted some younger guys to get some opportunities. Miguel Castro looks like he's got a chance to be, you know, a really good bullpen piece for us in the future. So there were some good things that came out of it. I think, you know, I'm happy to be back. And, you know, I think it takes some pressure off some of the younger guys, and now they don't have to throw in those high leverage situations. But I think there were some definite positives, some guys that came up and stepped up. And, you know, opened up some eyes, you know, for the future for them.
Stay tuned now for Orioles baseball.
And hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel with Jim Hunter back at Target Field in Minneapolis in the loss column. Here tonight, Minnesota wins it. First of a four-game series. They win it by a score of 6-4. So the Orioles now their fourth straight loss. They've now lost, 7 out of 9. And they are now tied with the Blue Jays for the bottom spot in the Eastern Division. Now, about the game tonight, Jim, the Orioles, in 8 of the 9 innings, they outscored Minnesota 4-0. But in the third inning, Minnesota outscored the Orioles 6-0, and that put them in the loss column.
And it just shows you how in baseball, Joe, you never know how one play is going to have an impact and affect the outcome of the game. And because of the way the game went and the Orioles lost by 2, the decision by Trey Mancini, and it's instinct, you understand why. It's first and second, one down. He's off the base and behind the runner, Buxton. So Buxton, the fastest player maybe in the American League, maybe in the major leagues, he has a good lead. And the slow ground ball that was hit by Robbie Grossman, Mancini's instinct is make the turn, go to second. If you're going to get one out, get the runner out of scoring position. Except Buxton, an elite runner, beat the throw. And so instead of an out and second and third and two down, it loaded the bases. And then when Sano came up, and Bundy had to challenge him. He really battled him. He went to 3-2, but he had to challenge him. And Sano had a base hit to right field. So the 6 runs in that inning, the difference. And, yeah, the Orioles scored 2 in the 2nd, 1 in the 4th, and 1 in the 6th. And they had many more chances to add runs. But for a second consecutive game in a loss, they leave 10 men on base. And that's really tough. You get men on, you can't get them in.
Yeah, in the game, they went 2-for-9 with runners in scoring position. So, again, they had those opportunities. Hey, Trey Mancini had an interesting night. It seemed to me like he spent the entire ballgame doubling until the bases got loaded in that 7th inning.
Yeah, he doubled to lead off in the 4th, came around the score. Doubled to lead off in the 6th, came around the score. And then when the Orioles loaded the bases, and it's interesting because in this game, twice the Orioles loaded the bases, but each time the first two batters were retired, then the Orioles got 3 consecutive base runners, and the Minnesota Twins were able to get out of it. In the 3rd, it was the ground out by Trumbo, and then the at-bat you're referring to, Joe, in the 7th. Mancini had doubled in his prior 2 at-bats, and then he came up and on the 2nd pitch hit a routine ground ball to short and grounded out. So just, a tough, tough night, and Mancini looked very good at the plate. All 4 at-bats, he got the ball in play. But, again, when you're not scoring runs and you're not winning, those are the plays that come up. When you leave the bases loaded twice in the game, it really hurts.
Well, Bundy tonight got off to a pretty good start, a 10-pitch first inning. That was nicely done. And the second inning was non-eventful. And then all of a sudden, the third inning, and you mentioned the Mancini play on the ground ball that was hit to him. Bundy just could not survive it. He had 1 bad inning in this game.
Yeah, and it started off in that third inning, a hit-by-pitch by Castro. And again, if you go back and look at the video of that hit-by-pitch, that pitch was almost a strike. It was going for the corner. But Castro, a left-handed batter, stands very close to the plate. And not only did he not look to get out of the way, it looked like he raised his elbow so the ball would hit it. And that's a smart play because he got on base. You very rarely see an umpire say, wait a minute, you did that on purpose. You're not taking first base. If the ball hits the body, it's automatic. And that was tough because that was a pitch that wasn't real errant. It barely missed the strike zone, and that got him going. So, you know, a hit batter in that inning, the fielder's choice that reached, that run came the score, gave them an extra out. So a couple of runs difference in that inning. And again, who knows what would have happened. It would have been second and third and two down if Mancini takes the sure out at first. And maybe Bundy pitches Sano differently and he gets out of it with no runs. So you just never know in baseball. But unfortunately, Minnesota got an opportunity and they seized it and they got six.
Actually, you never see the umpire make that call.
You never do.
A batter is supposed to make an effort to avoid getting hit. At least make the effort. I've been broadcasting Major League Baseball now for 40 years. I've seen it one time in 40 years. If the batter gets hit, that's it.
Yeah. And it looked to me like Castro, I mean, the pitch, if it's going to be a strike, his elbow shouldn't be over the plate and he shouldn't be awarded first. And again, if he's leaning in, that's even worse. And that's what I thought I saw. Maybe it was just because of where he was standing in the box, but that one looked like it could have gone either way.
By the way, that one time I saw it was Giants-Dodgers, and it was a long time ago, when Don Drysdale was attempting to set the record for consecutive scoreless innings. It was like around 55 or 56 innings. And Dick Dietz was the hitter, and the bases were loaded, and Drysdale hit him with a pitch to force in a run, or so we thought. The umpire made the call.
Hmm.
He said Dick Dietz didn't attempt to get out of the way, so he brought him back. Drysdale got him out and went on to set the record.
Wow. So how about that? Not only
one time,
a memorable time because it set a record.
Yeah, right away. Orioles had the lead in this game, and on the road trip, hey, that's a headline. It's the first time it's happened. In the second inning, Adam Jones hit a ground ball to the left side. Miguel Sano, the first baseman, dropped the throw. So Jones was safe at first base. And then Trumbo came up to swing a bat. Berrios, he delivers again. Trumbo, fly ball. Way up in the air, very deep in left center. Backing up is Buxton. He's at the wall. Pivot, bye-bye. That's a jumbo at Target Field. He hits it over the wall in center. Trumbo, number 13 for him. It's a 2-0 Oriole lead. How about that? So they had 2-0 lead. Bundy in the third inning had that lead. When he began the inning, by hitting the catcher, Jason Castro. And then Buxton, he singled. After Dozier struck out, that's when Grossman came up to hit. He had a ground ball to Trey Mancini, on which the young first baseman made the wrong decision.
Bundy checks the runners. Here's the 0-1 swinging a ground ball. Weakly hit the first. Mancini goes to second. Too late. Everybody's safe. Buxton runs too well, and the throw was tardy. So instead of getting it out, now the bases are loaded and still only one down.
Yep, that's what happened. And the Twins took advantage. Miguel Sano, the all-star, came up to hit next.
And the payoff pitch is swung on and lined to right field, and that's a base hit. One run scores. Buxton will be held. The throw goes to second base. And Sano delivers an RBI base hit. It's a 2-1 game. So Minnesota on the board and not done yet. Well, Bundy had to challenge him. 3-2 with the bases loaded, and Sano didn't miss. And a good piece of hitting as he goes with the pitch to right field.
And then just moments after that, Kepler didn't miss either.
And the pitch, Kepler swings, line drive, base hit left center field. Buxton scored, rounding third, heading for the plate is Grossman. Throw goes to third. It's a two-run single for Kepler, and Minnesota has the lead. A three-run inning here in the third.
And then Escobar came up to hit.
Here's the pitch, swinging a high fly ball, belted to right field. Smith is back, that ball is back, and that ball is off the wall and in play, and it deflects all the way to the foul line. One run scores, two run scores, and heading to third with a two-run triple is Eduardo Escobar. It's a five-run inning for Minnesota and a 5-2 lead.
And eventually it was a six-run inning, a total of four hits, and that was the only inning tonight in which the Twins actually scored. In the fourth inning, Trey Mancini came up as the leadoff hitter.
And the pitch lined into left field. There's a base hit for Mancini. He just stays red hot. And that ball goes all the way to the wall, and Mancini's going to head to second base. Ball gets away from Rosario, but Mancini holds it second base with a leadoff double. He scorched that ball to left field.
Yep, and then later Yanish with the infield ground out drove in a run to bring the Orioles a little bit closer. In the sixth inning, again Mancini came up as the leadoff hitter.
And the 2-1 is ripped and fair down the left field line. There's another base hit for Mancini. Trey is hustling around first. He's thinking two. Here comes the throw. It is off the bag, and Mancini is on with a leadoff double. Oh, did he crush that ball? So Trey, two doubles in this game, and he's in scoring position leading off.
Yeah, and then Castillo is ground out, got Mancini to third, and then Kim, a fly ball to pick up the RBI to bring the Orioles a little bit closer. Then in the seventh inning, with two outs and the bases empty, Scope a single, Jones a single, Trumbo got a base on balls. Bases loaded for Trey Mancini.
And the pitch, swinging a bouncer to shortstop, played there by Polanco. He'll go to first in time, and the Orioles, for a second time in this game, strand the bases loaded. So Duffy gets Mancini, and that ends the threat. After two out, nobody on, the O's load the bases, but Duffy gets out of it.
Yep, and then in the eighth inning, got a base hit, but could do nothing with it. Then in the ninth inning, Scope, one out single, but then Jones out on a comebacker, and then Trumbo came up, and that's when the game would end. The fans standing here at Target Field. Kinsler comes to a set. He'll check on Scope, and he delivers. Trumbo, a chopper over the mound, charging. Dozier, he's got it. He throws on the run, and the ball game is over. Trumbo is retired, and the Orioles in the loss column again. They've lost four straight. They've now lost seven out of nine, and they are now tied for last in the Eastern Division with the Toronto Blue Jays. So the road trip has been a nightmare. Same two teams again on Friday night here at Target Field. Yeah, Kevin Gausman tomorrow night, and Jim Hunter will continue our post-game information right after this.
Jim Hunter back in Minnesota, where the Twins get the opener of this four-game series, beating the Orioles by a final of 6-4. So the Birds have now lost four in a row. They have lost 6 of 7, and they have lost 7 of 9. They fall to 1-5 in July and 0-4. On the road trip. Time to hear from the skipper now. Let's head downstairs. Post-game comments. Buck Showalter is with Gary Thorne.
Buck, a tough ball game. You guys had a lot of chances to get that thing tied up or better.
Yeah, we did some things better tonight. Dylan had that one inning. That really pitched well the whole pitching staff after that and gave us a chance to get back in it and had, like you said, some opportunities just, hit away.
What about Dylan? What happened in the third?
Just command got away from a little bit. It's a hot, sticky night and some of the sequences got away from. We didn't help matters either. We threw the ball wrong base a couple times. But another one of those things that analytics doesn't show up that you can't grade. It cost us a couple runs.
And Bucky, I mean, it's as though Trey Mancini has played a lot of first base, one of the throwing mistakes, I guess. But you get players who haven't done that a whole lot at the major league level, and you get mistakes.
And he came back and made some really good plays. He made a great stop when he threw the ball to second base on the double play. There's some good things. Trey's a good first baseman. And, he gets sped up here. You got to think about who the base runners are. And he's played a really good first base for us. It was just a couple of mistakes that we made, not just him.
All right. How about shortstop? I thought before the game you were kind of inkling that maybe Jonathan was going to go there. Your thoughts?
Well, he did it for one inning. We're going to be able to do that. John's had a background doing that. He's capable of playing it at the level that we've played it since JJ's been gone.
Okay. Anything else?
Play better. It's like trying to handicap a golf term. You don't take handicaps. You play better. Nobody gives you a handicap. That one inning got away from us.
Thanks, Skip.
Thank you.
All right, so Buck Showalter, his post-game comments, and Buck referred to Dylan Bundy. It got away the one inning. He goes 5 innings, 6 runs on 5 hits, but 6 runs on 4 hits in the one inning. Let's hear from the Orioles right-hander now. Back downstairs we go. Gary Thorne with Dylan Bundy.
Dylan, one inning got away from you. Can you talk about the third a little?
Yeah, just lost command completely there in the third inning and leaving pitches up in the zone and over the middle of the plate and then kind of snowball effect on me there.
Why? What happened?
Command, I was just leaving balls over the middle of the plate, trying to go in. we're trying to go away and missing by a foot or two, and that's not going to cut it up here.
Can you feel it when that happens to you?
Yeah, you know, as soon as it leaves your hand, that it's a mistake pitch, and you just hope you can get away with it, and I wasn't able to tonight.
How about correcting it while you were out there trying to pitch in an inning in a ball game?
Yeah, I mean, you got to fix it on the fly, and obviously I wasn't able to fix it very fast there in the third inning, and like I said, they were able to have the snowball effect on me there.
You guys had some chances, though. Watching the ball game late, they were almost there.
Yeah, we had guys on base, and we just weren't able to do it tonight.
All right. Thank you, Dylan.
Thank you.
All right, so post-game comments of Dylan Bundy, who loses to fall to 8-8 on the year. In his last 10 starts, he has gone 3-7 after a 5-1 start.